Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis, an MRR podcast. Today's episode features Marcus Naramore, Director of Business Development at Seattle, Washington-based Full Spec. This episode was recorded over the phone on June 24th, 2020.
So I am not traditionally from the cannabis industry. That's more of a recent phase in my career. I was in kind of like some retail technology after I got my MBA a few years ago, working on Target, the retailer in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of looking for another position. I've always been a fan of cannabis personally and always had an eye on the industry, as I think a lot of people have. And then, you know, like a friend of a friend was starting a grow in Washington, and it was this really incredible grow that overlooked the river in Wenatchee. And I just like, you know, I was like, hey, tell me more about this opportunity, et cetera. And I ended up flying up, seeing the grow, chatting with people. They needed somebody to help them kind of go to market and do some marketing with them. And so a couple weeks later, I signed on and joined it. And that was back in 2016 when we kind of launched our first brand, which was LeafWorks. And then more recently, the same group has launched Full Spec, and that's kind of around live resin, et cetera. For me, what cannabis represents is just a way to, like, amplify the things in life that I love, right? So, like, whether that's cooking or whether that's listening to music, whether it's just, like, sitting outside and listening to nature or, you know, having a conversation with my family, et cetera, cannabis just kind of, like, accentuates a lot of those really positive experiences and helps me be really present and just get a lot more meaning out of those. So I just have always really enjoyed it for that attribute. And then obviously I love what it can do, you know, like medically. And then I also love that, you know, it's maybe not as addictive or dangerous as other like substances like alcohol, et cetera.
Well, you know, being that you've been in it since 2016, obviously we've seen a lot of different changes in the industry. When it comes to, say, the biggest misconception that you've seen in the cannabis industry, you know, be it by consumers or even other operators, what is the biggest misconception that you've come across?
Well, man, that's a multiple layered question, right? So like for the average passerby, I'd say the biggest misconception is that all weed is the same. If you're shopping for weed a couple times, you're going to think it's weed, right? But then you start going to the store, particularly in Washington, you see all the different ways it's portrayed out on the shelf, right? From raw flower to pre-rolls to topicals. Even in the world we exist in cartridges, there's just so many different extraction methods and experiences. So it's really kind of like this baseline plant that has layers and layers of complexity to it. And that, like, I think we're just scratching the surface of the complexity of the product. And that's exciting for me to share. You know, for people who are more familiar with the industry, I think the biggest conception is that, like, THC is king. And potency, at least in Washington, has defined so much of the market here. People are always going for distillate, which has high THC potency. And we kind of want to shift the preferences back and let people look at the whole plant because it just has so much more to offer. THC is great, right? But so is CBD, CBG, CBN, all the terpenes, fats and waxes, et cetera. There's all this complexity that we think we can deliver in a broader range of products.
Well, when you're focusing, say, on the entourage effect or you're focusing on alternative cannabinoids such as, say, CBN or CBG, where do you think that interest in those alternative cannabinoids? Obviously, CBD was the big front runner for alternative cannabinoids for a long time, but we've seen a lot of these other cannabinoids kind of jump up the food chain, especially as far as CBN is concerned. You know, where do you see, say, the future of cannabinoids going, and is it going to go towards more of an end result, say like CBN for sleep problems, or are you seeing something more as, again, an entourage effect of versus, say, an isolated effect?
That's a great question. And like you kind of hit on where I'd expect it to go, right? Obviously, isolates are really powerful, and there's so many applications for things like CBN for sleep. There's so many more cannabinoids that we're just scratching the surface on, both research-wise and marketplace-wise, right? So I definitely see isolates getting more traction, not just THC and CBD, but others, as you mentioned. But where we really see it happening is with full-spectrum extraction, right, where you're kind of delivering the essence of the plant that's growing – in an oil form. And, you know, what I think it's going to come down to, there's so much complexity, as I mentioned, trying to talk to customers or even bud tenders about these different cannabinoids and why it's more beneficial. Sometimes you get the eyes glazing over in one ear and out the other, right? So it's really going to come down to the experience. We've always seen that when people try these kind of full-spectrum products, it clicks for them, right? They get the taste. They get the effect that's desired from the plant. It's a whole nother level from maybe a distillate experience. So we just want to deliver that experience to people, and we feel like that's going to kind of spur them to learn more about the complexity of the plant.
Well, being in the industry for the past 4.5 years, clearly extraction technology has improved dramatically. What's the biggest change been in extraction that you've seen, and what's maybe somewhere that you see extraction technology going in the next, say, 5 years?
Well, man, it's funny because this all kind of aligns, right? Like, I think the isolates, that's a whole frontier of extraction, and there's a lot that's more of like a chemical lab type of process, right? But then I think what we've seen in the last couple of years is just how do you preserve the flower? And you can do that in a couple ways, right? Like we do like hydrocarbon low temperature extraction, and that's kind of the next wave, I believe, because of the experience it gives to people. But then I think another area that you can really preserve the original nature of the plant is with solventless extraction as well, right? And solventless is attractive because it delivers such an exceptional experience, both visually, you know, with smell and with taste and effect. But it's also got this aspect of you don't have any solvents touching the plant. It feels natural. It feels pure. You're just using, like, pressure and heat generally to get these results. So I think, like, low-temperature, high-temperature, or high-terpene extraction is the future, along with solventless.
We've also seen consumer trends shift over the past couple of years. I'm sure, like, when you first came into the scene, there was a lot of emphasis on flower. Now we've seen that kind of shift. A lot of people are focusing on vapor products and maybe, say, cleaner forms of consumption. What has the biggest shift in consumer trends that you've seen?
Well, I mean, it's been a roller coaster, so to speak, right? So, like, obviously, we've seen a huge shift towards vapor in the grand scheme of things in the last 5 years. But last year, you know, with both Vapegate and then with COVID-19, those are two negative forces against vapor, and they really brought flower back to the forefront as well. Behind all this, right, you have like these kind of tertiary categories like topicals and even edibles, and those are seeing a lot of growth, but they're kind of at a small market share. But long term, I think those could be monster categories. I guess, like, to put a cap on all this, I would say the market is fragmenting, right? And it's such a broad market with so many different types of customers that it can kind of feed all these different varying categories. So I just think it's becoming more fragmented, and really strong players are starting to develop that connect with certain customer interests at each category.
Well, you mentioned Vapegate and the most recent issue, which is obviously COVID-19, coronavirus. You know, Vapegate was targeted towards vitamin E acetate and the additives that are put into vapor products. Obviously, coronavirus is a RNA-based virus. It's not really related to the cannabis products as a whole, but
sure.
You're correct, and it's completely shifted the way that cannabis is conceived and the way it's done. What are some things that you have kind of gone through having, you know, launched this new brand during the coronavirus outbreak, and what are some steps that you put in place with your SOPs in order to make sure that you are maintaining, say, you know, social distancing or other things while still running the cannabis business?
Yeah, so first of all, right, like we had to change the way we did business pretty drastically, both our production, our extraction, and our sales, right? We all had to kind of adjust what we do. From the production side, I mean, like there was like stickered areas set up that were socially distanced. There was cleaning and disinfecting regimens on a like rotating basis throughout the day. And then, you know, we just stopped having visitors, any outsiders, having minimal staff, kind of staggering some staff. So just a lot of areas to give everybody a little bit more space and a little bit more, you know, cleanliness in their workspace. On the sales side, right, like we are really on the ground traditionally, and we are in stores. We're talking to bud tenders. We're doing in-store events, talking to customers. It's very personal, and it's kind of old school in that way, right? We've had to shift that whole operation pretty much to inside sales, And then also just build out like a really robust digital marketing arm, because customers now are sitting on their couch at home shopping for what they want to purchase, and they're spending, you know, 5-10 minutes inside the cannabis store, whereas prior they were going there and not maybe knowing a lot and just chatting with the bud tender and getting a recommendation. So the way customers are shopping is becoming a little bit more modernized with COVID-19, and that's kind of made us change how we deliver our message to them.
Looking at the future of the industry, obviously, you know, coronavirus is going to kind of change things permanently to an extent until, say, a vaccine. I mean, even after a vaccine is issued, it's possible that it may stay to certain aspects, people wanting to not necessarily spend so much time in dispensaries or other things. Are you guys planning for, say, the future as far as what you are looking at with your marketing or with your in-store pop-ups or anything like that? Like, what does the future of your marketing look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think we've started to scratch the surface of it, but we really view these brands, obviously, as delivering great products, but we really want to build platforms for them. So areas where you can learn about the plant, learn about extraction, you know, purchase apparel that you like, even content that's educational, informative. We're looking at a lot of video content, and these are not necessarily groundbreaking ideas for marketing in general, right? But in the cannabis industry, it's kind of like the next frontier. And we feel like we have a opportunity to deliver a great brand experience to people as they kind of sit at home, rather than just depending on them to only get it when they come into the store.
And having the technology background that you have, having come from, you know, corporate world with Target and higher level technologies, and then bringing that expertise into cannabis, what are some things that maybe cannabis hasn't adopted yet that you would like to see cannabis take a forefront on, or maybe work towards in relation to, from a technology standpoint? You know, like, say, you know, we see now doctors doing remote visits. You know, do you see that maybe remote consultations with bud tenders or something like that? Like, what's the future of technology in cannabis, in your opinion?
Yeah, you kind of hit on a couple of areas there, right? So, like, remote education is really, really powerful, and that's something we're going to deploy here in the near term. We would love for people to view our platforms or any other platforms as areas not just to say, oh, that's a beautiful-looking nug shot, or, oh, that's cool extraction, but to sit there and spend 60, 90 seconds learning about high temperature or high terpene extraction or single source cultivation or the entourage effect, right? So that's probably the biggest thing I would prefer to see that customers kind of shift with. You know, another thing, just going back to my kind of more technology and retail background, just getting to know our customers, right? Like, understanding what they're looking for, understanding why they like these products, and then getting kind of like a dialogue set up with them so that we can deliver better results for them and get to know them a little better. I think that's something that is severely kind of lacking in the industry.
Well, we certainly seen, I mean, at least here in California, we've seen a shift from the 215 days in consumer mentality into understanding the products that they are consuming. Obviously, the consumer is becoming much, much more educated than they were before. Do you see that as a trend that's continuing? And how do you think other retailers or other cannabis operators can help facilitate that mentality change within the consumer market?
Yeah, that's a great multi-layered question there. I think the trend is continuing, but, like, there are, you know, increases in momentum and decreases. There's so much complexity to the plant, and there's so much newness to it. There's standard language, I think, is the biggest way that multiple producers can kind of ease this experience, right? If you're looking for types, like, distillates become something that is kind of standardized. But in high terpene extract world, there are so many different terms, and they're slightly different from one another. The descriptions are slightly different from one another. Like, even as a professional myself, it's hard to weed through it and understand, like, what is actually being said. So I just think standardization and simplification of the message is really what everybody needs to do to really get customers on board. Otherwise, education is this vague thing that can be, you know, a complex PowerPoint, a lot of jargon on a packaging, right? Like, where the effort's being made, but it doesn't actually deliver education. So that's what I look forward to, is kind of simplification, standardization.
Looking at, say, say, what Leafly's doing, for instance, as an example, having shifted from, say, their Indica, Hybrid, and Sativa platform to now this Snowflake design to explain the cannabinoid content. Obviously, with your own products, I believe that you guys use a color-coded system for your packaging in order to create the sense of what the product is so you can have a visual representation. Would you like to see more cannabis operators kind of take that same approach and help to simplify the product selection system for a consumer so that they can, say, visually determine what they are consuming versus having to read, like you said, a massive label with a bunch of stuff they might not understand?
Yeah, you brought up a couple of perfect examples, right? And I'm personally a visual guy. Like, I struggled in school when I couldn't read the notes and when I couldn't look at graphs, et cetera. And I think that's happening to a lot of customers. So what Leafly's doing is great because it's a really complex idea that they're trying to execute, but they have the reach and they have the momentum to actually get people to buy into that. We're all for, like, more complexity in how we're describing indicas, sativas, and hybrids. You know, those are kind of scientific terms, and they don't always match to what is actually on the shelf. We view them more as, like, experiences, right? Like, a sativa is more of, like, an exciting experience, and indica is more of, like, a relaxed experience. So that's why we portray those categories as moods with our LeafWorks brand. And we recently expanded that as well to include, like, indica hybrid and indica sativa, just kind of showing people that it's not always this indica sativa hybrid split. There's a lot more complexity to it.
Do you see a potential of, say, the customers, I believe one of the first brands that maybe did it, I think in 2015 or 16, like Dosist moving into, say, the actual effect versus the strain. Are you guys seeing that shift of the mentality of the patients or the adult use consumers wanting to know more of the end effect, or do you still see, say, connoisseur people looking towards individualized strains? What do you see as the pattern going?
It's a split pattern, to be honest. And the way we approach it is, our strains are very important to us. Obviously, our moods, that's something we convey, and it's very simple, and it's got, like, the little icon and the color. That's more, honestly, for people who are kind of first, second, third-time shoppers. But we also love our strains, and, like, strains are so interesting. They exhibit the biodiversity of the plant, et cetera. So we also always market our strains pretty heavily, and we see that customers gravitate to both. We have a, strain called 9-Pound Hammer Number 6. Some people are all about the flavor and effects of that and, just kind of like the old school stoner mentality of what they gravitate to. But a lot of people just like it because it's their end of the night unwind, right? And so the way we do our marketing with that strain is meant to appeal to both of those groups. And I think that's a fine balance to walk, but it's also essential to walk because there's so many different types of customers right now, both novice and experienced.
Well, I gotta say, I tried your product over the weekend, and I absolutely loved it. And I'm not really a vapor guy myself. I'm more of a flower guy. Do you see that as a potential for cannabis consumers, just to be able to give a vapor product a try and bring them from the flower market? Because you're right, it is a more convenient way to consume, and to be honest, in a lot of ways, it's a healthier way to consume as long as it's a whole cannabis plant and doesn't have additives.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're trying to do, right? And, like, your experience is kind of exactly what we're looking for, and I couldn't be more happy that you had that, right? I've always been a flower guy myself, but, as part of my work, too, I've just really gravitated towards vapes, but the new full-spec product particularly, I almost will always choose that over flower just because that terpene flavor, that smell, all of that just, like, really does something for my senses that flower, used to do a lot more, but I feel like this product delivers it even more. So that's the hope, but we recognize it's a little bit of an uphill battle because flower is a great product too.
Well, and being a person that consumes yourself, what is your favorite strain that you currently have? Or even if it's not in your lineup, what's your favorite strain and why is that for you?
I am a big fan of Jack Herrera and all the offshoots of it. I'm a big music person. I love to write music, love to DJ, et cetera, love to listen to music. Jack Herrera just does something to my brain that makes music even more magical. So I love that strain and all the offshoots of it. You know, we have a Black Jack, a Jack Flash, and a Jack Herrera. They're all kind of different varieties. I like the Jack Flash particularly because it's got a quick onset and it's really, really kind of mellow, even though it's got that sativa energy to it.
For people, say especially medical people or maybe, say, elderly people that are a little bit more apprehensive to use cannabis products, but it may be actually more beneficial for them than a lot of other things that they are taking. What would you recommend as an entry-level product for somebody to try if you were trying to get them to be a consumer of your product?
You know, we, as a LeafWorks brand, we have a CBD line that is really nice. It's got, we have a strain called Suzy Q that's 20-to-1 CBD to THC. So, you know, you have your standard cannabis experience, whether you're vaping it or smoking this flower, but you don't get really a psychoactive high. It just gives you all the benefits of CBD, right? Like your calmness, a little bit of alertness, but it's got just enough touch of THC that it really accentuates that feeling. That's always what I recommend for people, especially if, you know, they've had bad experiences with paranoia, et cetera. And then I think our full spec live resin is another good entry level, right? Like live resin is traditionally with a dab rig, and that's kind of made it reserved for real experts in cannabis. With the cartridge, it's a really approachable package, cartridge or PAX pod, and people kind of get that eureka moment as soon as they inhale it and taste it and exhale, and then the effects really speak to that too. So depending on if you're ready for a little more psychoactive or not, I would say full spec or our Suzy Q CBD.
Looking forward here in 2020, clearly we're still in the midst of coronavirus. I don't know how much R&D you guys are currently doing, but looking forward for the rest of the year, what's some things that we can expect rolling out from either the LeafWorks or the Full Spec brand line?
So with Full Spec, our flagship product is the cartridge, but we have a lot of exciting concentrates coming out. We have an au jus dab right now, and we call it an au jus because it's a juice. It's really runny. It comes in a little vial, and you can put it on a dab rig or put it on top of another dab, and just got that full spectrum, really high terp personality. That's wonderful. And then we'll have some other traditional dabs, including Shatter and Crumble and some Diamonds and Soft, et cetera. And that'll kind of round it out. You know, we've explored like a lot of growth with our mini over the years. I think this is the year we're really just trying to simplify it and really invest in what we know we do well, which is our cartridge lines of both our LeafWorks and Full Spec.
Any future expansion plans beyond the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, you know, we're always looking at other states. I think like the recent year has provided some challenges for that, but pretty much everything we do from how, you know, we grow in an affordable way to kind of how we put processes on everything, our sales and marketing to like our brand, right? Like that's all meant for kind of multi-state expansion. The timing is just something we're currently looking at, but that's definitely the next step for us.
We would like to thank Marcus for his time and being on today's episode. If you would like to know more about Full Spec, you can visit them online at www.leafworks.com. Thanks again for joining us, and please stay tuned for the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis, an MRR podcast.